thank you very much, choir, for that fine number. I appreciate our music this week. It's been a blessing.
Yes, it has.
We appreciate the pianist and organist, Brother Gary, the choir, the special numbers. And it is good to have each of you here tonight, and it's a joy to have you. And I know the Lord has a blessing in store for us, and it's good to have my good friend of the people here at our church, Brother Mays Jackson, Atlanta, Georgia, to preach for us tonight. God bless
you. Amen. Thank you, good pastor. All right, now you ought to feel better after that good singing. Say amen. I tell you, I'm glad that there's nothing impossible with God. If God was limited, then, my friend, we could not worship him and exalt him and praise him like we can, because we know that all things are possible with the Lord. Now, with us, a lot of things impossible. A lot of things I'd like to do I can't do, but I'm glad I can point you to one that can do it. And what a blessing it is. We're glad you came tonight. I'll tell you, I appreciate you being here on this night. I believe we have a message from the Word of God that'll be a help to you. And especially if you're thinking about the end of the things. And one day we'll come to the end. One day we'll meet the end. And I tell you, it's good to be also ready, the Bible said. And we need to be ready for the end. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. Let me say tomorrow night's Friday night. We hope that you'll pray and invite and get those folk here at need to be in the meeting. I tell you, it'll soon be over, and we certainly wouldn't want folks to miss the meeting. And if we'll invite and pray, I believe they'll come. Then Saturday night, I want to bring you a message on prophecy. I want to speak to you on the road to Armageddon. We have started now toward Armageddon, and there's no turning back. Everything's going to be focused in the Middle East. It started over there, and it's going to wind up over there. So I hope you'll be here Saturday night, and we'll have a great time. Sunday morning, of course, and Sunday school. We'd like to go over, how many, 900 at least, isn't that? How many do we have last Sunday? Well, let's go 900. How many of you believe we can have 900? Raise your hand. Right, come on, y'all. Why, y'all backslid before I ever started preaching here tonight. Amen. Listen, if you don't believe it, you won't have it. I'll tell you one thing, you won't have it if you're in bed. Say amen. You've got to get up and come to Sunday school and to church. And I hope that you will coming up Sunday. Then Sunday afternoon at 2:30. I'm going to speak to you on Bible prophecy again, talk about the war and some of the miracles of that war. And then we're going to talk to you about present-day prophecy. For instance, before the war, I preached three sermons. I have them on tape, all three on one tape. The Road to Armageddon, maybe some of you ordered it. Secondly, after Kuwait and Iraq, what then? That's now. And then I preached the third message entitled The Battle of Armageddon. Where will it be fought? Who will be in the Battle of Armageddon? And of course you know the outcome of the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible said, Revelation 19, that he will destroy the enemies with his word. That's why the word is most, most, most powerful. You say, how will he destroy the enemies, Satan, the false prophet, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth that shall come up against him with his word? I don't believe he'll say but two words. Drop dead, they'll all be dead. Say amen. So, you be with us Sunday afternoon, 2:30, and for the great rally service, which will be the conclusion, but you come, I believe God will bless you. I got in the prayer room tonight, and the Lord got speaking to my heart, and I remembered, and then we came out, and the singing started to take a turn from what I was going to preach on, so I believe preaching on what the Lord leads you to preach on, and I'm going to speak to you tonight on your last message, or the last message. Have you ever thought about what kind of sermon you'd like to hear just before you die? Have you ever thought about what kind of a sermon you'd like to hear just before the coming of the Lord? I'll try to do that in just a moment. Let me give you this, though. my mother when she was in the intensive care, and she looked over at me and she said, "What would you like for me to give you?" I said, "I don't want your home. I don't want your car. I don't want anything but two things." And I have those two things. Number one, I said, "I want your Bible." I said, "I want to have that Bible where I can open it up and see the tear stains." And I said, "Look in there where you marked it." And before my mother died, listen, she had marked in her Bible Genesis chapter 18. Now, don't turn, but I'm going to tell you what. There are seven great questions in that chapter. One question is there anything too hard for God? And when Brother Gary and them were singing that, I knew that what God wanted me to preach on. Now, you'll find that question in Genesis 18. When I took Mother's Bible after she went to heaven, I took it home with me, and she had it marked, a pencil. Genesis 18, is there anything too hard for God? And quickly, I noticed she had given the answer in Jeremiah, where it said, "There's nothing too hard for God." I wouldn't take anything in the world for that, and she left me. Oh, she left me the assurance that whatever comes my way, that my God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly. And if you doubt God and doubt his ability and his immutability, there's something wrong tonight. So I want you to take your Bible, turn to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I want to speak on the last message, the last message. I never talk about the radio broadcast, but let me say, while you're turning to Revelation chapter 22, a good friend of mine in Atlanta, Georgia, died about 6 weeks ago. And he said to his wife, he said, "Turn the radio on. I want to hear Brother Mays. I believe I'm going home." And after the broadcast was over, in just a matter of a few minutes, he had gone to be with Jesus. And she called me and said, "Brother Mays, the last thing my husband heard was that sermon." And I said, "Well, I don't keep a count of the sermons. Can you tell me which one? I'd like to keep it. I'd like to know that I preached it and a man heard it and then went to heaven. So I don't know exactly what I preached on, but that was his last message." Now, Revelation chapter 22 is God's last message. I mean, I saw something this week. I was watching the news, and the Mormons had an ad, and I'd never seen this. Maybe you saw it. If you did see it, I want you to raise your hand. It said, "Other sheep have we." And then it said, "The Bible," and it showed the Bible, the Holy Bible, tells you about the life of the Lord Jesus. Then he put the Mormon Bible up there. And it says, "This tells you about the other sheep and tells you about the life of Christ." It said, this one, the Mormon Bible, listen, there is nothing that can be added to this Bible. Now you put that down, mister. I don't care whether it's Mormons or Baptists or what it is. Nothing can be added to the divine complete revelation called the Holy Scripture. Brother, I believe it. I believe when God said, "It's over, it's over." I don't believe that anything be added to the Bible. You say, "Yeah, but there's a man over here that had a dream. He ate too much chili before he went to sleep, bless God." Listen, we need to believe the Bible. And so here we come to God's life's message. Would you stand with me all over the house real quickly while we read the scripture tonight? The last message, the Bible said, verse 17, chapter 22. I want you to notice God's last message to man. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Now, I want you to notice something. He closed it out by promising grace for every one of you that are here tonight. I don't care what you came in this church and have need of. If grace works, and it does work, thank God there's enough to go around. And he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Would you be seated all over the house? Would you bow your head for just a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you tonight for loving us. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come into thy presence. Oh, how blessed it is to feel and to know that God's in our midst tonight. You said where we're gathered together in the name of the Lord, there you would be in the midst. You know the little mother that needs a burden lifted. You know that dad that needs that special touch. Lord, you know that backslider needs to come home to the Lord. You know that poor sinner that's condemned and benighted and cut off. Oh, that's never known the joy of sins forgiven. Never known the joy of going to heaven. Never known the joy of having Christ, the life that is the only life to live. Thank you for what you're going to do for us now. Bless in the preaching of the word of God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments, I'm going to speak to you on the life's message. What a wonderful thought it is. God has a message. And one day you'll hear your last message. What if it were to be tonight? But because of time, let me give you three things about Revelation 22 that I read you. He gives three things in his last message. First, he gives the last plea. I like that. God said, wait a minute, John. I want you to write one more invitation. Make another plea with poor old sinners. And here's what he said, the Spirit and the bride say come. Let him that heareth say come. And he that's athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Did you know that's the last plea in the Bible? Oh, it said you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be renowned. But praise the Lord, I'm glad it's the last plea. And the Spirit and the bride say come. And then there is the last proclamation. It said don't tamper with this book. If you add to it or take away from it, the plagues will be placed upon you. I don't want to take away from it. I'm glad, praise the Lord, it's complete. Thank God it's all in all. Forever settled in heaven. I believe every word, every chapter, every verse, every line. I believe the outside even where it said Holy Bible. What a blessing it is to know that this is God's book. Don't tamper with it. I'll tell you, there were many in the Bible like Jehoiakim and Jehudi that took their pen knives of modernism and cut up the Bible. And brother, it's dangerous. So God's last message, his last plea. Secondly, notice this, his last proclamation. And then his last promise. He said, Jesus is coming back. Did you know that's my hope? My hope is that Christ Jesus one day will split that sky and say, come on home, children. I saw Billy Kelly yesterday, and he said, he's coming. He's coming. I said, I know he's coming. And Billy Kelly looked at me and said, but it'll be different the next time he comes. They won't jerk his beard out. They'll not spit upon the Savior. I'm glad he's coming. And it'll be different the next time. He's coming first for his saints. Thank God. I'll tell you, we're going to say goodbye to this world. And then 7 years later, he's coming back with his saints. Why, that's a blessing, my friend. I want you to know tonight, There's that promise. I have a promise, the last promise he gave. He said, Mace Jackson, I'm coming back again. He said, Buffalo Ridge, I'm coming back again. He went away, but he's coming again. There's nothing so blessed. But I'm going to take five out of the Bible tonight and show you their last message if you'd like to jot them down. Number one, there was Solomon's last message. Solomon wrote three books in the Bible. He wrote the first book when he was a young man. He wrote the Song of Solomon. Do you know what that's about? Love. It's about the love that the Lord has for his church. I'm glad Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. I doubt a man that says he loves the Lord and doesn't love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad it's at the church my soul is fed. It's at the church where I get strength. It's at the church where I worship. It's at the church where I can be blessed. And he had a message. When he was a young man, he had a message about love. Then he wrote another book when he was a middle-aged man. And it's about wisdom. And boy, you don't even start to get wisdom till you get middle age. I used to think when I was 18, my daddy was an old fogey. My daddy didn't know a thing. And then when I got about 30, I looked back and I said, my, I'm glad my daddy knew everything. Oh, you see, you learn. And listen, here's a man in his middle age and he wrote a book about wisdom. The book of Proverbs. But wait a minute. You know what his last message was? It was a message about the worldly-minded person. Now, you can be lost and be worldly-minded. You are worldly-minded. You can be a Christian and be worldly-minded. We better set your affections on things eternal. Praise God. Things that will not pass away. Mister, we're leaving this world one of these days. And Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he was an old man, he gave his last message, all his vanity, for the worldly-minded people. You say, Brother Mays, I can tell a worldly-minded person three ways. You want to write them down? I can tell you first by the conversation that he always talks. A worldly-minded man won't talk about revival, won't talk about the Bible, and he won't talk about the church and the good things of God. He won't talk about things down here. But I want to tell you, mister, your conversation ought to be seasoned so that you'll talk about the things of God. Brother Seidler is an amazing man to me, and he told me once when I was with him in the meeting, he said, Brother Mays, I don't want to talk about anything but the Lord. He said, I'm honest with you. He said, I just want to talk about the Lord. And listen, I can tell a worldly-minded person by his conversation. Then number two, write this down. I can tell a worldly-minded person by the crowd he hangs around with. If you're that word, you want to be with that worldly crowd. You want to hear all those old jokes and all that old filth. But I'll tell you, mister, I'll tell you, I like that crowd that's heaven bound with a hammer down. I like that crowd. Praise the Lord. That's my crowd. This is my crowd tonight. I'm glad the people that love the Lord, the people that stand for God. Mister, that's the crowd I like to be around. What a blessing. But there's the third way you can tell a worldly-minded person, by the church he belongs to. Say amen right there. You belong to one of these things, just a third-rate amusement centers. I can tell you worldly-minded, just want to entertain. Brother, the church is not a place to entertain. The church is a place to preach the word of God and to sing the blessed hymns and to fellowship and to go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for this church and the good pastor you have. Brother, God sent him here years ago. And oh, I thank God for him, and I thank God for the church here. Hear me tonight. I tell you, you can tell a worldly-minded person by the church he attends. Number two, you have David's last message. You know what David's last message was? To the wayward backslider. Solomon talked about, listen, he talked about these people who are worldly-minded. But David came along and said, wait a minute, be strong, son. David said, quit thyself like a man. Don't you do what I did. Oh, David had a last message, and he said, I want to tell you in Psalms 51, you read that whole psalm and hear the pathos and the heartbeat of David when he looks up and said, don't cast me from thy presence. Oh, he said, thee and thee only have I sinned against. Mister, when you sin against God. And when you sin against your church. And when you sin against your family. And when you sin against yourself. And here's David. He said, I want to tell you the wayward backslider. Now listen to me. I want to give you four ways God deals with a wayward backslider. If you want to write them down. Number one, by the cleansing of the word. Though you have fallen, and though you've gone away from God, I'm glad Ephesians 5 says there is the washing of the word. You can come back to God. And he says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First, he deals with that wayward backslider by the cleansing of the word. Secondly, by chastisement. Not only the cleansing of the word, but by chastisement. Hebrews 12 said, for whom the Lord loveth, he also chasteneth. Hear me tonight, if you're saved and you're out of fellowship with God and in a backslidden condition, God will whip you. He'll take you to the whipping post. He'll take you, mister, and chastise you. Number two, God deals with the wayward backslider, not only with chastisement and not only with the cleansing of the word, but number three, by castaway. After God deals in chastisement and you refuse to come back, he says with Paul, the Lord says, after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. I'd rather die and go to heaven tonight than to be placed on the shelf. I'd rather die and go to heaven tonight, mister, than to be unusable in the work of God. Oh, you think about it. Paul said to become a castaway. And I know a lot of people who close their Bibles, and I know a lot of people that have turned their back on the church. Say, what's wrong? I think they've become castaways. All right, notice number four. You say, preacher, how does God deal with the wayward backslider? He carries them on to heaven sooner than expected. You say, I don't believe that. Yes, you can die before your time. Amen. Say, no, you can't. I know you can. Old Oliver Green said to me when I went in to see him when he was sick and tears came in his eyes, and I stood there in Greenville, South Carolina. He looked up at me and he said, God's given me a good ripe age. And he said, you know why? He said, because I honored my father and mother. Now, he said, I was the black sheep in the Green family. He said, Mays, I want to tell you something, but I never sashed my mother. I never told my daddy that I wouldn't do something. He said, I always honored thee. And I said, yes, Oliver, I honored mine too. Oh, he said, was you an honor student? I said, the only thing I ever knew about honor was yes, your honor, and no, your honor. Say amen. I tell you, and boy, I mean, boy, I used to catch it. But listen to me, as sure as you're here tonight, Paul said, some are sickly among you, and some are sleeping out there even now. God had to carry him on early. You say, but God does not extend your days. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He did with Hezekiah. He said, I'll give you 15 more years. I'll let you live 15 more years. I've heard people when they're on their deathbed say, if God will get me up, I'll serve the Lord. I'll serve the Lord. I've always said when I got down, I'll serve him whether I die, whether I live. Bless God, that's been settled a long time ago. I'm not going to have to promise God when I come down to die that I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him anyway. Anyway, now they have in Atlanta on Emory University hospital records, I've died twice. That's not so. You say it is so. Well, I say it's not so. If I ever cross the river, honey, I'm not coming back. Now, you put that down. Praise God, there's a better country than down here in Gray Station, Tennessee. There's a better country where there's no sin and there's no separation and there's no suffering. Oh, I went with Brother Gene over to the hospital today, and I've praying while he's visiting the sick. There's so much sickness today, but thank God I'm going to a country where there's no cancer and where there's no heart attacks. I'm going to a country, mister. What a blessing that is to know that. But you hear me? I don't believe there's accidents with God's people either. I don't believe no such thing. I've heard preachers get up and say, this young preacher had an accident. No, he didn't. Bible said the steps of a good man are order of the Lord. I believe God has my path. Hallelujah. I believe he knows. Amen. I believe that. You say, well, I don't believe that. I do. I believe the Lord knows all about it and what a blessing it is to serve an omnipotent God that knows it. Did you hear me tonight? I want to tell you, it's a serious business. You come down at the end of life's journey, and you know that because of sin, you're going to have to die younger. You're going to have to die before your time, really. It's a sad thing to know. So in the Bible, we have the last, Solomon giving his last message to the worldly-minded, David giving his last message to the wayward backslider. Now here's one that you people right here in this church need, every one of you, hear me. Jesus' last message to the worried saints. Somebody said, I don't worry. Yes, you do worry. Why do you eat your fingernails plumb up your elbows if you don't worry? Say amen. Why, everybody worries. I heard a song the other day. I don't think it had a bit of gospel in it, but it was good. He said, where I won't have to worry anymore. I like that. Bless God. I'll tell you, you worry. If you're a parent and you've got a teenager, you'll worry double from anybody. Amen. Now, don't tell me you don't worry. It's just the nature of man to worry. And Jesus had a last message to the worried saint. Listen to what he said. Chapter 13 in John. He said, I want to tell you something. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a long night. But when I get through talking to you, I'm going to give you it straight. Listen, we need some straight preaching tonight. Oh, if there ever has been a time, we need some straight preaching about sin and Satan and the evil devices. We need it now. But you know, Jesus said to all his disciples there in John 13, he said, one of you is going to be ashamed of it. One of you is going to be ashamed of it. Oh, they said, no, 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 no. They got to worry about it. Who is going to be ashamed of Jesus? Let me ask you something. Were you ashamed of the Lord today? Have you been ashamed of the Lord? He wasn't ashamed of you. Thank God he wasn't ashamed to leave heaven's throne and come down among wicked men. He wasn't ashamed of you. He wasn't ashamed of me. Then he said the second thing. He said, one of you going to sell me to my enemies. What a terrible thing that is. He said, one of you will sell me for the price of a slave. Boy, that did cause him to worry. He said, is it him? He said, I wonder if he's the guy's going to do. And then he said something that really did put him to worry. He said, Matthew, you left the seat of custom. Simon, you never did do anything but fish. But you left your boat. But I want to tell every one of you, I'm going to have to leave you. And where I'm going, you can't come now. Boy, you talk about them worrying. You talk about the hearts drooping. They said, where could we go? We left everything, and we left our jobs and our families to follow you. And now you say that you're leaving us, and we can't come where you are now. And so the night started to break with dawn. And just as the dawn broke, he started John 14. Here's what he said to those worried disciples. Let not your heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again He said, you don't have to have troubled hearts. Oh, he said, just cast your burden here. Let not your heart be troubled. Have you ever seen a time when there's so many troubled people? Listen, you stop at that door out yonder tonight and ask every person that leaves this church, you mean there's no worries? You'll not find one person. If he tells you the truth, either they worry about their family or about their jobs or about their children. Oh, listen, this is a world of uncertainty and anxiety and worry. But I got news for you. Jesus' last message to the worried saint was, let not your heart be troubled. He's got something for your heart. Now, some people are awful slow. I thought Tory was really a brilliant fella. I mean, he is. He's a brilliant fella. Why, he knows more than Gene and I. We've been preaching 100 years between us. And he knows. But I asked, we're sitting at the table. I said, Tory, you've got heart trouble? And he looked at me and he stuttered. He said, heart trouble. He wanted to say, Dad's had some. I didn't ask. I said, do you have? You know what I was doing? I meant he did have some little girl that made his heart flip back, you know, having heart trouble. But let me tell you tonight, I don't care what kind of trouble you have. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, you say, preacher, the last message to those saints that worry. Number four, Paul had a last message to a warrior that was just starting out. Boy, I love to see these young preachers come along. I mean, preachers that are grounded and going to stand and hold high the bloodstained banner. You know what Paul's last message was to that young preacher, Timothy? He said, I charge thee before God. He said, you preach the word. Oh, listen, I don't have anything but the word to preach. It's so precious tonight. Oh, I thank God for the word. It tells me how to be saved. It tells me how to live after I'm saved. It tells me how to pray when trouble comes. It tells me how to cast my care upon the Lord. What a blessing that is. But Paul said to Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove. Oh, he said, it won't all be blessings. Tell it like it is. I remember when I got a call and my son wanted me to preach his ordination message. I took him, put him in a chair. And I preached to him. I said, son, it doesn't look like it does to me. I said, the ministry looks a lot different now. I'm looking back over my years of preaching. It looks different now. And I said to my son, I said, son, it looks different. You're looking up the road. You've got a whole life. If Jesus doesn't come, you've got a whole life to preach and live right. And you know what I told him, buddy? I told him, I said, if you're going to die this book or anything in this book, get up and leave. I said, if you're going to let some little old gal come along with one half eyelash over here and two on this side, and come, I said, leave. Say amen. Well, I wouldn't preach to my boy like that, buddy. We preach to him. And I believe it ought to be preached straight like that. Listen, if I thought he'd ever deny this word, listen to me, I don't want him in the pulpit. I wouldn't want him up making a sham out of the ministry. But thank God, he's more strict than I am. And I like that. Amen. My wife's more strict than I am. Of course, they'll get lenient when they get to heaven and say amen right there. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. But anyway, oh, listen, here's the last message. You know what he told that young man? He said, I want to give a testimony. I want to tell you, boy, this is your last message from this old preacher. He said, I fought a good fight. Boy, I like that. I fought a good fight. And then he said, I've kept the faith. He said, I didn't quit and become like some of these little fellas that are, you know, out here preaching, they get tired. They get tired, and then they put their Bible down and quit. But he said, I finished my course. I don't want to quit till I cross the line. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, this was Paul's last message to Timothy, the young warrior, mister. Let me come to the last thing. John the Revelator's last message to the wicked. Oh, you say that the wicked won't go to hell. That John's last message said he'll be cast into hell. The Bible said in the book of the Revelation, and I saw a great white throne. And the wicked are going to stand there and be judged. I got one fella that's high up in South Carolina likes me. There ain't many folks that's high up like me. But Judge Epp does. And when I'm around, boy, old Judge Epp will come and we'll have an office time. And I was down with Brother Dr. Russell Rice. And Russell said, I saw a judge last week down here in session. And said when he got through with one of my young men, he handed him a book in his steps. And he said, son, you read this book and you get under this man's ministry. And I'm gonna let you serve your time at the house of God. And old Russell Rice said, boy, I never heard of Judge. I said, that's Judge Ed. He said, how do you know him? I said, well, I know him well. I know him good. I said, we've been around. I said, I was in Union, South Carolina, in a meeting over there at Victory Baptist Church, Welcome Baptist Church. I said, Judge Epp came. Listen, the prosecutor came. A lawyer came and sat down on the front. And the preacher said, we're going to let Judge Epp take the offering. Boy, I thought, Lord, let a judge take the offering. Old Judge Epp got up and looked at him and said, y'all get your pocketbooks out. And he said, you better smile tonight. Because the next time you stand in front of me, you want me to do some smiling. Amen? Boy, that's the best offering we had. I'd like to have old Judge Epp over here right now. But oh, you hear me? I'm glad, listen to me, this Bible has God's last message to the wicked. And just before God closed the Bible, he said, tell them the Spirit. And the bride say, come, let him that is athirst come. He that heareth, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Because he said in Revelation 21, verse 8, and the unbelieving and the fearful and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Mr. God's last message to the wicked is, there's no hope. You'll die and go to hell. And you lift up your eyes in hell, as Luke 16 says. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy. And send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Listen to me. There is the last message to the wicked. It's a terrible thing to see a man die without God. It's an awful thing. I don't like to preach funerals. I don't like weddings. So, Tori, you get down to Brazil, you get married, you're going to have to get somebody else. I don't like weddings. Of course, there's one difference between a funeral and a wedding. You can smell your flowers at one, you can't at the other. Say amen. But you put her down. I want to tell you something. You're going to come down one of these days, center friend. And you're going to have to meet death. And after death, the judgment. And the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Here's God's last message to the wicked. There's a lake of fire. A lake of fire. And you're going to burn forever and forever. Years ago, I haven't seen Mr. Smith in 15 years. I guess it's been since I saw Harold Smith, but I remember I was in Knoxville helping Brother Bob Bevington there at the tabernacle. And we went down to Riga's restaurant there in Knoxville. It's down, I don't like the name of this street. Well, I'll tell you, it's Gay Street. Y'all know that? Man, I'd change that name if I was there. I feel funny even riding down there. Say amen. I'm scared of them kind of folks. Say amen. God said the hell's going to be populated with them too. Now you put that down. That lifestyle, it's a wicked lifestyle. It's a stink in the nostrils of God. But anyway, I went in there and was eating at Riga's. And boy, I was ordering me, you know, a little salad. About that time, I looked at Sauce Robert. I said, buy me a steak. He said, I won't buy you no steak. I said, well, don't buy it then. I looked up and saw another preacher. I said, would you buy me? No. I said, well, I'll eat a hot dog with this salad, bless God, and get indigestion, and I'll pray for you, bless the Lord. And I looked up, Mr. Smith came in. He came over and he sat down. I said, would you buy me a steak? He said, gladly. He said to the waitress, bring him the biggest steak in the house. He said, my mother and dad, till they died, followed Mays Jackson. My daddy told me that he loved Mays, and Mays had helped him. And I'll buy you a steak from mother and dad. But that's not what he wanted to talk to me about. He took his handkerchief out. And he looked down and they had a linen napkin. So he put his handkerchief back and reached over and got that linen napkin there in Rieger's restaurant. Started twisting it, and I knew that something was troubling his heart. And he said, Mays, you left Greenville? I said, yes, sir. I said, Greenville was good to me. I said, but I left Greenville. God wanted me to move to Atlanta, Georgia, among strangers. And I said, I moved to Atlanta. And then quickly, here's what he said. He said, Mays, he said, I want to tell you. He said, when my little boy, Sonny, died, he said, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. He said, I came in and they told me that in the garage where we had... emergency room, and there they were doing everything they could, and Murdoch, my wife, was standing there, and she said, Harold, he's burned. He's burned. He's burned like a crisp. And Harold said they'd done everything they could, and I reached over Mays. He said, and I said, I love you, son. You're my preacher boy. And said, that little suffering boy looked up at me and said, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. And he said, for 14 days, I stood over him day and night, and he'd say, blow me, Daddy. And I'd start at the top of his head, and I'd blow all the way to the tip of his toes. And said, after 14 days, I called two preachers in Greenville. We went in an empty room, and I said, lay hands on me. Don't pray what I'm going to pray, but pray God will give me grace. And he said, dear Heavenly Father, my boy has been burning for 14 days. Put the fire out. Don't let him burn anymore. Take him on to heaven. And he said, when I got through and I went out in the hall, it was the 7th day of May, I said to Myrtis, I said, honey, the birds are singing. The flowers are in bloom. Look out the window. And he said, when I put my arm around my precious wife, tried to comfort her, she said, the birds will never sing for me again, Harold. The flowers will never bloom for me again, Harold. And then he said, as I stood there and tried to embrace her and hold her there in the hall, said a little nurse, 22 minutes after I'd left that room, tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked down. That little nurse was crying, and she looked up and said, Brother Smith, the fire's gone out. Little Sonny took wings and flew away to heaven a few minutes ago. He said, I raised my hand and said, oh, God, there are people that hear me preach, and they'll go out, and they live wicked lives, and they reject the Lord Jesus, and the fire will never go out for them. Forever, forever, and forever, the fire will never go out for them. The Bible said God's message to the wicked, and they'll be cast into the second death, the lake of fire, where the fire will never go out. My, what an awful message for the wicked, but I swear to God. But he said, I'll let you come. I'll let you accept my son. I'll let you their thirsty drink. And you that hear, oh, if you'll just come. He said, and take of the water of life freely. Ever hit batter back.
The last man. this is your last message, wouldn't it be terrible
if somebody was here tonight and it'd be the last message? I hope that's not the case. But if it is the case, I hope you'll take this last message, the last plea, the last proclamation, the last promise in the Bible. Take it with you and say, I'm ready to meet the Lord. I have everything on the blood. I'm going to ask you a few things tonight while Brother Gary gets ready and the good pastor stands here. What if this is your last message? Well, I'm going to give you a little something. If this is my last, Brother Gene has to get up tomorrow night and says, Mays went to be with the Lord. I want you to say, praise God. He's gone where he'll never die anymore. He's gone where he'll never suffer anymore. But what if he had to get up and tomorrow night, before I preach, he'd say, Mr. So-and-so was with us last night. Miss So-and-so was with us. They're not with us anymore. They're gone. I had a wreck out down on the highway. They're gone. Heart attack or something like that. Gone! I want to ask you something tonight all over the house, and I want you to be honest. Everyone in this church can say, Preacher Mays, thank God, I'm ready to go this night if God calls me. If this is my last sermon, I'm ready to meet my Lord. Would you slip up your hand all over the house? Let me see it. Amen, amen, amen. That's wonderful. Now you can take your hand down. Thank you, beloved. Now, while you keep your head bowed and eyes closed, how many people say, Preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but I've gotten away from the Lord in my heart. I mean, it's just not real like it was when I got saved. Brother Mays, I just don't enjoy going to church like I did. I don't enjoy witnessing. I don't enjoy reading the Bible. Preacher, I have something in my heart against people. And I'm beginning to doubt. Would you slip up your hand, Christian? Let me pray for you tonight. I believe there are many that ought to lift your hand. Let me just pray for you. Just slip it up there, Christian, and you can take it down. God's speaking to you. What if this were your last message tonight for you that may be in a condition where you're not as near to the Lord as you were? Lift up that hand. Let me pray for you. Would you lift it up? All the way back. Let me see that hand. Oh, I'd be afraid to leave here without it. I'd be afraid to walk out of here without knowing. All right, I'm going to ask you the third question. How many of you say, Preacher, I've got some in my family, and I want the Lord to really burden me about them. I want to get them saved before they hear the last message, before the last message comes to my loved one. Would you lift up that hand? Let me see it tonight. You've got a boy, girl. Maybe you've got somebody that you love where you work or where you school. You say, Preacher, I want you to pray for them. We'll slip up that hand. It's all over the house. All right. Now you can take your hand down. Now, in a moment, I want to ask you the fourth question and then number five, and then we're going to sing. Brother Gary's going to lead us. Number four. How many of you willing to come down here tonight? I'm talking about Christians. Bow your head and lean over this altar and say, God, I want you to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, I want to be a soul winner, and I want to love Jesus, and I want to walk with God. You that are here tonight, you Christians, think about that. Think about that. And if you have a burden, and you've got someone that's not saved, and I mean it's disturbing you tonight, I want you to come down here and call her name in prayer. Oh, how wonderful it is to call that name in prayer. Now, number five. How many people here tonight say, Preacher, I'm not saved? I'm going to be honest with you. I came to church tonight, but in my heart, I know that I'm not born again. I know that I'm not saved by grace.
I know that I'm not ready to meet the Lord, preacher. I'm lost. Would you slip up your hand? Let me, listen, don't run from God any longer. Oh, beloved, listen, don't run from God. Sinner friend, it's a great price to pay to carry condemnation on your shoulders as a lost sinner. Would you slip up that hand? Let me pray for you. If you're not sure you're saved, just slip up your hand. We're going to pray. Let me see that hand. Yes, God bless you, lady. Is there another? Just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. You don't know you're saved. One young lady. I believe there's somebody else tonight. You're not sure you're saved. Would you slip up that hand while we wait just a few seconds? Oh, I'll tell you, what if this is your last message? Father, I thank you tonight. Oh, that when we read the blessed word of God, we can know that we can be ready to meet the Lord. We can know that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, you know those that need to come. Their mothers that need to come down here and get on their knees tonight. Their daddies, their sons and daughters, their teenagers. Oh, Lord, their grandmothers and granddads that need to come and say, Lord, send a revival through me. Oh, Lord, take my heart and cleanse my heart from every sin. Oh, Lord, touch me and make my life a life of joy in the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to stand all over the house. Brother Gary, we're singing what? Number 270, Just As I Am. Now listen, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight? Oh, if the church here, you've got a good church, a great church. But wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of you would just say, hey, I'd like our church to be a lighthouse, to be a real soul winning station. I'd like for our church to send a light out. And I want to have myself complete on. I'd like for my church to lead my lost loved ones to God. I'd like for my church to be a spirit. Lord, I'll place myself on the altar. While we sing this first stanza, come right on down. Anyone, visitor, our churchman, we're going to pray for you right here first. Would you come? We're going to have prayer. All right? Sing with Brother Ed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sing the next stanza. They're still coming all over the house. Come right on. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. Yes, just kneel right where you are. Amen. It's beautiful. All right, I want you to bow your head for just a moment while they play softly just before we pray. Somebody back there needs Jesus. Beloved, you came to this meeting tonight and your heart's heavy. You're not sure that you're born again. You're not sure you're saved. You're not positive that you'd go to heaven if this is your last message. Would you slip out and come down here? We'll have somebody to deal with you right here in the altar. Would you come? Just come right on. Oh, thank God for these that are down here weeping and moving closer to God. That's what revival is. Oh, that's what'll bring heaven's joy when sinners come. Because the saints are willing to pay the price. They're hungry and they're thirsty to get closer to God. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the good pastor to come lead us. We're going to pray for all of these that are here. And you that are back there that want to be remembered, just slip up your hand. We're going to pray for you right here. God bless you and God bless you. All right, good pastor, you come lead us. Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you for these that have come and got on their knees here tonight. Lord, they want you to take their lives. And Lord, the verse of scripture, Lord, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Lord, help us each one tonight that mean business with the Lord to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Yes. Lord, help us just come clean tonight. So, Lord, here's my life. I want to put you first above everything in this world. And Lord, bless our dear people now as they're on their knees consecrating themselves unto thee. Fill them with your blessed Holy Spirit. Yes. And Lord, these that are burdened for loved ones, I pray that you'll give them the privilege of seeing these loved ones won to Jesus before it's too late, even maybe this week in this revival. Thank you for Brother Mays tonight. Thank you for this good message. It touched our hearts. And now, Lord, we yield ourselves to thee tonight. Lord, take us and mold us and make us and help us, Lord, to will and to do your good pleasure in our lives. And bless our church now, Lord. Keep us true to you until you come for us in the air. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.